Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the living God from whom all blessings flow. And there is no God like our God. He's the only true and living God. He's a God that makes it possible for us. No matter what no one says, God is still who he says he is. Tonight, we just say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because what God is doing for us, it's an awesome thing. He's so good. He's so merciful. God has shown us his way. And the more we just trust in him, the more we believe in him, the more we can say, thank you, the Holy Father. And God has made it so. He has made it so for us that we can just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And tonight, that I just want to say I praise him. I love him. I know that God is able. I know God will keep us. He will show himself. He will show himself to us. And the more we depend on him, the more he will be there for us. So tonight, we just said thank you. We said thank you. We said thank you. We said praise you. And because God is so good, his mercy endures forever. And you know, one of the things I would just thank God for, that God just blessed me so tonight. He just blessed me so tonight. All I can say is just bless me so. From the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, God has blessed me. He has blessed me beyond my own understanding. And tonight I want to just one more time before we bring our audience in and say thank you, Father. For what God has done is awesome. He's done some awesome things for us. Can you just believe that today, that what God has done for us? He's done so much for us. So much for us, until he just let it be known. There's none like him. No matter what nobody say, God is still God. I can say this tonight as we come before God, and somewhere out there in the land just listening, and we just believe in God, and we're waiting on God, and we're just trusting God, and we're believing God, and praise God. Amen. Amen. Oh, Jesus. And you know, all we got to do is just trust God. And God is just so good. He's so good. His mercy endures forever. And one of the things that I would just say more with anything on a night like tonight is I would just bring these words. You see, every Christian, everyone who walks by faith must be and come to know Jesus Christ, to believe in Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Born again brings in a true characteristic of you knowing that you know that you know, no matter what nobody say, you know that you've been born again. Because when you've had the Holy Spirit operating in your life and you come to the fullness of it. And one of the things we've been teaching and believing God for, we got some excellent teachers that are coming online with us, and we thank God for them, and some are headed in. And so I want to thank God. I just want to thank God for everything. And take notice, one of the things that I take notice of that God is saying to us in this one, amen, hallelujah. And what God is saying to us, amen. What it says, that faith, your faith assures you of victory. Your faith assures you. Amen. Are you there on the line with that, brother? Hello? Are you on there with us there? Hello? Are you there? Mic test. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Test. Test. Hello? If you can hear me, go ahead. But I can't hear you, but I'm trying to figure out what's wrong here. My God, my God. I got us on the line, and for some reason or other, I just can't get us on the... I got us on there. I'm testing the mic, and the mic says it's working. And help. Let me see what I can say here. I'm going to try to reset. Let me see. It says, if I don't hear a person, let me see. That wants to check out this in my phone. Sir. Check out this in my phone. Sir. Okay, let me see this here. All right, let me see what my microphones are. Oh, Jesus. You know, God is so good, but that's all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And what is this here? Okay. Well, just bear with me, my brother. I'm still trying to get it together. I got my speaker at 30%. I got everything. Let's see, I got. Listen, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Oh, we just, I don't know what the issue is. I'm just trying to get on here by the grace of God. Be patient with me. Be patient with me. Be patient with me. And we will see here. Oh, Jesus. It says it. Check it and just. My. This is something else. My. Nobody but God. God is so good. Jesus. Mic test. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Mic test. Unmute, can you try unmuting me to unmute you? Unmute you? Where is that? Excellent. Hello? Hello? Are you there? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hey, praise God. Praise God. We found it. Amen. I tell you, God is so
Amen.
Good. Amen.
God bro. Is good.
Amen. So go ahead on stuff, bro. I'm going to go ahead and close some things out here. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
All right. Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. He always calls us to triumph. I'm Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International at 984 Reverend B.J. Lewis Drive, Houston, Texas, 77088. Come by and worship with us. I'd love to see your face in the place. Our service times are on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 p.m. come by and worship with us. I know God will bless you and encourage you in your faith. Well, thank God for another day. How are you doing, Apostle?
I'm blessed.
That's good. That's good. I tell you, God is a good God.
He's good. He's
an awesome.
He's awesome.
Yes, sir.
I love him.
He's an awesome God.
Yes, he is.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he is. Praise the living God.
Let's go into the Word of God. If you have your Bibles with you, turn your Bibles to Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Those who are listening, hello everyone who's listening all around the world. Psalm 138, and let's look at verse 2. I will worship toward thy holy temple. This is David. David's talking to God. And he's saying, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. God has magnified his word above all his name.
Amen.
He's placed his word above his name. That's awesome. That's God demonstrating to us that he wants his word. That's Yeshua demonstrating to us that his word is above his name. His word should be numero uno in our lives. It should be number one in our lives.
Yeah.
It should be at the top of everything, the head of everything in our lives. Nothing should be come before the word. Look at Psalm 119.
Amen.
And let's look at verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. His word is settled in heaven. It's established. It's set up on a permanent basis. It's forever. It's not going anywhere. From eternity to eternity, the word will still be above all his name. The word is forever. It's not going anywhere. His word has been set up on a permanent basis. It's settled, and it's been settled in heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. We're talking about God's word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God.
Was God. My God.
That's why it's established forever. He is the word. He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. The Word is not going anywhere. He's God. The Word is God, and God is the Word. It's forever established.
Amen.
The Word should be number one in our lives. The Word.
Amen. Amen.
Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
My God.
His word is unchanging. His word is forever effective. His word is powerful and is unchanging forever and forever. His word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same power that was in his word over 2,000 years ago, the same power that was in his word since the beginning of time, the same power that's in his word before the beginning of time, because it's him, and he always was, the same power is available in his word today. That's awesome right there. Now, that's something to get excited about. Before the earth, before the universe, before the worlds were here, God was here. And his, that same power is still the same today. The word.
The word.
The message. The word. The word. That word. That word in the word, the definition for word in Hebrew, that Hebrew word is Imra. Imra. That's the Hebrew word for word, Imra. Another Hebrew word for word, the one that's in the Hebrew word for word in Psalm 119:89 is Dabar. Dabar. So that's two Hebrew words for the word word. Imra and Dabar. When you say Imra, you're saying the word, the word. When you say Dabar, Dabar, you're saying the word. That's the Hebrew words for word, Imra and Dabar. And we're going to learn how to experience the power of God's word. How to experience the power of God's word. There's power in God's word. God said, let it be, and it was. He said, let there be light, and light came on the scene. Why? Because there's power in God's word.
Amen.
And we are going to learn how to experience the power of God's word.
My God.
Number one, to experience the power of God's word, number one, you got to receive it. You got to receive it. You got to receive it. Healing is available in God's word. Wealth and riches is available in God's word. God's word is powerful. It's powerful. It's power in God's word. God said, let there be light in the beginning, and there was light. He created everything that we see with by his word. So that's evidence. That's evidence that there's power in his word. He created everything. The worlds were formed by the word of God.
Amen.
The worlds were formed. The worlds were made by the word of God. You see, there's power in God's word, just like there's a power in the seed, in an apple seed. You can plant one little apple seed and get a whole lot of apples out of that one seed. And the Bible tells us that the word of God is seed. It's seed. The word of God is seed, and it's power in the seed of the word of God.
Amen.
The word of God is seed. It's seed. The word of God is seed, and there's power in the word of God. Jesus called the word of God. He called it what? Seed.
Seed.
Yeah, it's seed. Luke chapter 8 tells us that the word of God is seed.
Seed.
Yeah, Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 says, now the parable is this. This is Jesus talking. He says the seed is the word of God. So the word of God is like seed. It's seed. It will bring forth harvest in our life when we put it in our minds, because the word of God is seed. But you have to what? Receive it. You got to receive it. Jesus talks about hard ground.
Mm-hmm.
The hard ground didn't receive the word. He talked about shallow ground, the shallow heart. Look at it. He says those by the wayside are those that hear. Here, then cometh the devil and take it away, the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. That's a hard heart. They on the rock are they which they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root. For a while they believe, and then in time of temptation or trouble, they fall away. That's a shallow heart. a hard heart, a shallow heart. And then you have those that fell among thorns, and they which they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of life and bring forth no fruit. That's a crowded heart. They let other things crowd the word of God out of their mind. So you got a hard mind. You can have a hard mind. You can have a hard mind. The word won't take what? Root. You can have a shallow mind. You'll believe for a while, and but when trouble comes, you fall away. Or you could have a crowded mind. You got too many other, your mind is occupied with too many other things, the pleasures of this life and the cares of this world, and you let other things crowd the word of God out of your mind. But when you have a good mind, it says that a good mind is they that which in an honest and good heart, a good mind, they hear the word, they keep it, bring it, and they bring forth fruit with patience, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But they bring forth fruit, favorable results, because of the power that's in the seed of the word of God. But in order for the word to produce in your life, what do you have to do? You have to receive it. You got to receive it. See, there's an old saying, and it's a good example, that there's an old saying that people started saying years ago, you can lead a horse to water, but what? You can't make it drink. You can lead a horse up right to the water, but if the horse don't drink that water, that horse will die of thirst. It's up to the horse if it's going to what? Drink the water or not. And the same with the word of God. There's healing in the word of God, but unless a person receives it, they'll die. They'll die of sickness. There's riches and wealth in the word of God, but unless a person receives it, they'll die of poverty. They'll be poor in poverty and scarcity for the rest of their lives. Why? Because they won't receive it. You got people who don't believe in healing today, so they die of sickness and disease because they don't believe it. But healing is available for them in the word of God. But they have to what? Receive it. The power of God in the word of God can only be released when a person receives it. Nothing's going to happen if you reject the word of God. If you harden your heart, you harden your mind to receive the word of God, nothing's going to happen. You're not going to have it. The power is not going to be released in your life because you won't receive it. Pastor comes by and prays for you and say, hey, by Jesus' stripes you are healed, and rise up and walk. You hear it. The word of God has been spoken to you, but you don't receive it, and you lay there and die. You've got to receive the word of God for the power to be released in your life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I back that up with the word. You've got to receive it. Say that to yourselves. I've got to receive it. I've got to receive the power. I got to receive the word of God to experience the power of the word of God. I've got to receive it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and look at verse 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing. Because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. You got to receive the word of God as the word of God. You got to receive the word of God as it's the word of God. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which what? Effectually worketh also in you that believe. See, you got to receive it for it to effectually work. You got to what? Receive it for it to effectually work. What do you mean by effectually work? Be successful in producing a desired or intended result. For example, Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but by his stripes we are healed. Well, you can be sick, and you can see in the scripture that he said, by his stripes you are healed, But unless you receive that word as the word of God, you'll die in your sickness. You won't be healed. The word of God won't effectually work. Why? Because you don't receive it. You're like others who believe that healing is not for today. Don't you know that there are ministers and pastors, they be all on the radio and stuff and all on TV preaching that healing is not for today. What kind of preacher is that? That's a preacher from hell. They say that healing is not for today. When Isaiah 53 verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So if we were healed, then we are healed. You've got to receive that. You can receive. I tell you, in the word of God, there's wealth and riches in the word of God. There's divine healing in the word of God. There's abundant life in the word of God. There's peace of mind in the word of God. Everything that we need for life is in the word of God. But unless we receive it, it will not work. Effectually work in our lives unless we receive it. Jesus said, if you reject me, this is the word of God now. He says, if you reject me, I'll reject you. And he is the word. So the word is saying, if you reject me, I'm going to reject you. If you reject the word of healing, the word of healing is going to reject you. If you reject the word of wealth and riches and abundance in your life, then wealth and riches and abundance is going to reject you. You've got to receive it. You've got to receive it for it to effectually work in your life. In the word, it talks about winning souls. Well, we can win souls if we receive that word of winning souls in our life. There's, for every area of our life, there's a word in the word of God that will meet our need. There's a word in the B-I-B-L-E that will meet every need of in our life if we only what? Receive it. Let me read that scripture again so you can see it for yourself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Here it is right in the word. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. You got to receive it as truth, the word of God. You've got to receive the word of God as coming from God. You've got to receive it, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You've got to receive it and believe it. It will work in your life. It will release power in your life. You'll experience the healing power of God, the provision that God has for us. Every area of our life, the word of God will meet every area of our life only if we receive it. Number two, we got to handle it properly. There's a lot of folks that are not handling the word of God properly. They're not teaching it properly. They're not applying it to their life properly. In order for you to handle it properly, you got to be taught properly. If you can't teach it correct, don't teach it right at all. Don't teach it at all if you can't teach it correctly. We have to teach the word of God correctly. People are expected to do this word. So it got to be taught to them correctly. It got to be handled properly. We can't handle the word of God any kind of way we want to handle it. You will hurt people by mishandling and teaching the word of God wrong. That's why in 2 Timothy 2:15, chapter 15, verse 15 through 18, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to handle it properly. We got to teach it properly, or we can hurt people. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. We can hurt people, and mishandling the word can kill you. I'll show you that in the word. It can kill you. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 through 18. Got to handle the word of God correctly. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. See? You got to get the right word correctly. If not, it will increase to more ungodliness in your life. And their word will eat as doeth a canker. You know what a canker is? When you teach the word incorrectly, it will be like a canker to people. That word canker is gangrene. It's an eating sore. The word taught to a person incorrectly and they begin to live and do that word will be like gangrene. It will eat away at their lives like a canker. Here it is right in the word. It will destroy and eat away at their lives like a canker sore. Why? Because they've been taught the word of God incorrectly, and their word will eat as doeth a canker, an eating sore, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. You see, incorrect teaching will eat away at people like an eating sore, like gangrene. That's why we got to handle the word correctly. Don't you know mishandling the word of God can kill you? In Exodus chapter 25, I'm going to show you in the word that mishandling the word can kill you. It can kill a person. Exodus chapter 25. Now, in Exodus 25, verses 10 through 16, God is showing them how they shall make the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the Ark of the Covenant is carried the presence of Almighty God. And God shows them in verse 14 how they're to carry this Ark of the Covenant. Now, in the Ark of the Covenant were three things. In the Ark of the Covenant was a gold jar of manna, was Aaron's budded staff, and the Ten Commandments, which represents the Word of God. This is what was in the Ark of the Covenant. The very presence of God was in the Ark of the Covenant. But see, the Word of God, God told them how to handle the Ark of the Covenant. He says in verse 13, I'm in Exodus chapter 25, and look at verse 13. He says, and thou shalt make staves or poles of shittim wood and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves or the poles into rings by the side of the ark, that the ark may be carried with them. See, they were supposed to carry the Ark of the Covenant by those poles. That was how they were supposed to carry it. Now, what was in the Ark of the Covenant? The presence of God, a gold jar of manna, Aaron's budded staff, and the Ten Commandments. The Word of God was in the Ark of the Covenant, but it had to be carried a certain way. Now, look at verse 16. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. The word. The word. That's what he's talking about. The word. The word was in the ark of the covenant. The word. And God wanted them to carry the ark of the covenant by poles. You were to carry it in a certain way. But look what happened in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. You can't handle the word of God any kind of way you want to handle it. It has to be handled the way correctly in teaching it and carrying it to other people. It has to be handled correctly or you could die. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 6. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, and look at verses 6 and 7. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put his hand to the ark of God. Now, God told everyone, don't touch the Ark of the Covenant. You're supposed to carry it out by the poles. Don't put your hand on the Ark of the Covenant. Now, here this guy is. He's putting his hand on the Ark of the Covenant. He's handling the Word of God incorrectly because the Ten Commandments, the Word of God, is inside of the Ark of the Covenant. You've got to handle the Word of God the way God tells you to. And he took hold of it because an oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzziah, and God smote him there. He killed him. He killed him there for his error. and there he died by the ark of God. Why did he die? Because he mishandled the Ark of the Covenant. Instead of him handling it by the poles that God told them to, he put his hands on the Ark of the Covenant. He mishandled the Word of God. He didn't handle it properly, and he died. Therefore, we have to teach the Word of God correctly. We have to handle it correctly. People are expected to do this Word. They got to get it correctly so they can handle the Word of God correctly. Or it will eat away at them like gangrene. Life will eat away. The devil will eat away at their life like a eating sore, a canker, a gangrene when they get the Word of God and they handle it improperly. For the people to handle the Word properly, they have to be taught the Word of God properly. It could kill them. And my third, we're talking about how to experience the power of God. We got to receive it. We got to handle it properly. And my third and final point, we got to consider it as being faithful. The power of God's word. How to experience the power of God's word. You got to consider it as being what? Faithful. You got to consider it as being true and it's right. And God will do what he say. He's faithful and he's true. So you got to consider his word as being faithful. It's reliable. It's dependable. It will do exactly what it says. Sarah considered God's, Abraham's wife. He considered God's word as being faithful. And that's what we have to do. Consider his word as being true and faithful. It's the word of God. He's going to do exactly what he says. All I got to do is handle it correctly and do it correctly. I'm going to receive power from the word of God because he's faithful. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 11. Through faith, also Sarah herself, she received strength to conceive. This woman was 90 years old, but she received strength to what? Conceive at 90 years old. And she delivered a child when she was past the age of having babies because she judged or considered him, his word, as being what? Faithful who had promised. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. She had the baby because she considered God's word as being faithful. Yeah, she laughed when she first heard it, but then she changed her mind. She laughed when she first heard that she was going to have a baby at 90 years old. She was past the childbearing, in the natural childbearing age. But she changed her mind, and she considered God's word as being faithful, and she believed him. And power was released. She counted God's word as being faithful. Power. She experienced the power of God's word because she considered his word as being faithful. When God says something, you consider it as being faithful and true. It's going to happen. How to experience the power of God's word? Number one, you got to receive it. You got to receive it. I can't make you receive it. You got to make up your mind. I'm going to receive the word of God on health, on finances, on family, on living, on whatever. And then power will be released into your life when you receive it. Like the old people used to say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You got to make up your mind to receive the word of God as coming from God for yourself. You got to receive it. You got to believe it. You got to take it for yourself. And then number two, you got to handle it properly. You got to do things the way God says do it. You got to teach it correctly to others, or it would be like a canker, a gangrene, an eating sore, and eat away at people's lives when they handle the word of God improperly, or they teach it improperly to people. The word of God has to be handled properly. And number three, you got to consider it as being, it's faithful, it's true. God's going to do exactly what his word, his dabar, or his emrah says. Emrah is the Hebrew word Emrah. Another Hebrew word for word is dabar. How to experience the power of God's word. Receive it, handle it properly, and consider it as being faithful. When you do this, you will experience the power of God, the power of God's word. Amen. Apostle?
Hallelujah.
Right, I'm on the line. Are you there?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. To God be the glory. What I want to tell you tonight, we've been a great, it's been a test. It's been a test. To all of us who can believe, all of us who can believe, tonight's been a test. It's been a test. And our patience and our durability, and every time, I don't know what's going on with the radio station, but they say nothing.
I'm having a difficult time hearing you, Apostle.
Okay.
You're breaking up.
All right. Can you hear me now?
It's breaking up.
Okay.
Your voice is breaking up. Are you on speakerphone or something?
No, sir. I'm on. No, no. I mean, it's somebody behind the scenes playing with my computer. But I want a brother Irwin to come on the line right now. Go ahead, Brother Irwin.
Yeah, I'm here. You are breaking up. It's kind of hard to hear what you're saying. But praise God, you know. Well, it was a good week we had this week. Brother, I hope everybody's doing well. So, you know, this weekend we put out maybe almost 2 tons of food out into the Greens Point area and in different parts of Texas, Humboldt area, that we put out for the disaster relief. One part we put out 57 homes with a lot of things we put out there, and then we did a big outreach down in Greens Point, and we made up enough to probably for about 400 families down in Greens Point. So praise God, you know, I got to give a big thanks to World Compassion Ministries, which donated the 2 tons of food, and then Holly Rankin from Dream Center in Greens Point, where we partnered with this so we could do a distribution there and put everything else. And she's doing a great job down there, trying to down there in the apartment complexes down there where everybody was flooded out. She's doing a wonderful job down there. Trying to get the people, you know, back in their homes and in their apartments, and so it was a blessing the whole weekend, you know, and it was a blessing being at your house, Dr. Hunter, with you, Dr. Newsom, and everyone else that was there. I just had a blast. It was good, and I really appreciate it. You know, some of the things that I might be talking about, we were talking about at your house the other day, but you know. God laid it on my heart, because with all this stuff that was going on and everything else. Now, Dr. Newsom, when you were talking about the experience, the will of God and experiencing the Lord, you know, let's do something and put a little in perspective here, because, you know, Jesus, he went to the cross for us. He took it physically. He took the nails in his hands. He took the whipping and he took the beating. He took physically. Then also when he was put on the cross and he died and was resurrected, he came back in his spirit. He still had the holes in his hands and his feet. And he still had the wound in his side where he was pierced with the spear. As I was driving and I was looking at all this stuff that was ahead of me and everything else that was going on, God said to her, and he says, did you thank me for the bruises? Did you thank me for the scars? Did you thank me for the holes that's in your hands? And I got thinking about that, and it comes to the revelation that, you know, Jesus took both the physical punishment and also he carried it in the spiritual punishment of all the beatings and everything else. But yet, when he sat there and he said, "Did you thank me for the bruises?" I went, "Whoa!" Because see, so many people They go, why, God, why this? How come this is happening? Blah, why? And then they start crying, and they start doubting, and they start a lot of other things. And I'm just going to say this right now. The bruises that we carry inside are the same bruises that Jesus took for you. We're taking it in the spiritual. He took in the physical. The scars that he took on his back and the lashes and everything else that he took and the piercing, he took physically. And yet, we carry those same things spiritually because we're resurrected in Christ. The holes in his hands physically, we carry in our spirit the same holes in our hands because we have died and we're resurrected in Christ. So a lot of times people are wondering, how come this is happening? How come that's happening? But we got to stop and figure. The bruises that we carry, with all the bruises, is for all the things that we have done in our past, we've done today, and the things we'll probably do tomorrow. The bruises are to remind us that they're a reminder because they don't heal. They're a reminder of what we have gone through or what we're going to go through. They're a reminder that, okay, God delivered us from that. So we turn our back from that and we walk away from it. Then the physical, where he took the whipping, is for our healing. That healing is a healing that is for in our spirit, you know. And then once we receive that healing in our spirit, then we can receive that healing in our bodies. And we can receive that healing in every aspect of our lives. Because he drew them scars first. And we carry those spiritually. But once we understand what those scars are, you know, we can defeat our enemies. We can do all things above and beyond our own expectations through Christ Jesus. And then, like I said, he took the nails in our hands physically. All right, in his hands physically. We've taken it spiritually. So, like I said, as we died and were resurrected in Christ, we could look at our palms of our hands. If we could see our spirit, we would see the same nail holes that Jesus carried because we're in Christ. So, if you come to an understanding how I'm trying to relay this into your everyday life, because like I said, so many times people don't really take the concept to understand what it is that we're going through. And we blame God for this, we blame God for that, but at the same time, those same blames that we're doing with the scars and everything else is our healing. Because all we have to do is once we understand it, then we can sit there and adjust ourselves and receiving that and with honor and grace. Because God sits there and said to me, he says, did you thank me for the bruises? Did you thank me for the scars? Did you thank me for the holes that's in your hands? And when he said, in your hands, that's when it dawned on me that I was resurrected in Christ. And I carry that same physical scars and the same bruises that he carried for me in the natural. So once we get that concept and understand that, we can go back into the Bible and we can look at a whole lot of different other things. You know, it's even like I was telling when we were at the table, and I sat there and I said, look, we were all given a cup just as Adam was given a cup in the beginning. Adam had dominion over everything on earth, everything in the heavens. He had dominion. God had given him dominion. But through his disobedience, he basically turned the cup upside down and emptied the cup out. But Jesus says, truly you will drink from my cup. So through Christ, we're given a new cup. Because even in our own lives, before we knew who Christ was, a lot of times we've emptied our cup, just like the prodigal son. We've emptied that cup out. We had nothing. Then we turn to God and we sit there and say, Father. He says, come on back. He puts the royal robe on him, puts a ring on his finger, kills a fatted calf and gives it to him. And a big party. That's the same thing in heaven. There's a big party in heaven for everybody who gives their life to the Lord and returns back to the Spirit of God. And we understand that. We the concept But those who are not in Christ, it's hard to wrap their arms around. But like I said, this cup that Jesus gave us, that we can go back, and when we empty it a little out, we can go back and get another sip through repentance. And we can get another sip. And we can go back and drink some more. And we go back and drink some more. It's a never-ending cup that will always overflowing with His grace and His mercy because of His love for us. So we can wrap our arms around that and get the concept of what that is and how it is that it pertains to our lives. Our walk with Christ is a lot easier. You know, against adversity and everything else, God has counted as joy because He already went through that for you. We're just experiencing in the physical what He's already experienced. But the only difference is, you see, that first cup that you had that was emptied out because you gave power to this particular spirit, whether it been lust, whether it been gambling, whether it been pornography, whether it been homosexuality, whatever it was, murder, it doesn't make any difference. If it was a thief, adultery, it doesn't make any difference what it was. You gave. See, you no longer had power, just as Adam had lost the power of dominion. You have lost that same power that you cannot fight against because you relinquished that power to whatever that spirit was that you fell prey to. See, Jesus sits there and tells us that if we come to Him, I think it's in Ephesians, I believe it is. It sits there and he says, not Ephesians. He says that if we come to Him, He will wrap His arms around us, and He'll keep us from the fowler's snare, and keep us in His grace and His mercy. I'm paraphrasing. That's not exactly the true words, but I'm paraphrasing what He was saying. If we come back to Him, and understand who He is, you know. And like I said, you give us a new cup. And you see, that new cup that comes with new powers. It comes with new authorities. And those new cups with new authorities and new powers, it means that we can defeat that same spirit that stole from us in the beginning before we had any understanding. We have the power once again to defeat those spirits. Because even those spirits are going to come back, they're going to come back seven times stronger. But that cup that you drink out of that Jesus gives you the power and authority to defeat that spirit even seven times stronger. God has a plan for each and every one of us. It's a matter of understanding who He is, what He's done for us, how we can wrap our arms around it, and how we can face our enemies, and how we can defeat them through the blood of Jesus. And we talk about the blood of Jesus, but you know what we need to do is talk about the Spirit of Christ that's in us. Because it is the Spirit of Christ that's in us that defeats it all. God's love and His mercy is like you said, Apostle, you sat there and says, you know, without receiving and without the understanding, we're basically lost. And there's a lot of newcomers that come into the world and come into Christ, and they fall short because they're not taught. And I understand that, you know, it's a learning process. But like I said, those who fall and they sit there and say, well, I screwed up. God ain't going to love me anymore. I'm done. It's over. I can't do anymore. And they turn and they walk away. That's almost the same as the disciples that were walking with Him. When Jesus sat there and He turned to each and every one, He sat there and He says, hey, He says, if you're going to come with me, He says, you're going to have to eat of my body and drink of my blood. Those were people who were shallow in the spirit of walking with the Lord, because they saw all the miracles, they saw everything else that was going on, but they looked at it into the flesh and they never looked at it into the spiritual realm. They never understood what Jesus was talking about. And a lot of people who basically would do the same thing, they were coming to the Lord who were new. Yes, we all screw up. But like I said, out of that new cup, if we will return back and repent and return back to Him, He will once again clean us off. He will set us free. He will set us back on the path of righteousness. He will continue to walk with us. He will continue to feed us. He will continue to let us drink from his cup. He will continue for all the days of our lives, that we not have to live a short life, that we could live 120 years. Our destiny is 120 years. And so many fall short. So many fall short. They live only a temporary. And even those who are, come into the body of Christ, those who want to get to know the Lord, and like I said, they're shallow. They fall on their face because against adversity. Because the minute they sit there and they give their life to the Lord, basically, they give up when adversity comes. And they sit there and they don't want to fight with it. They fall back into their old habits. But God has still never left them. God is still right where he was at when you first came to him. And he hasn't left. And all you have to do is turn back once again. All you have to do is start trusting once again. And all you got to do is start believing again. And start drinking from that cup, because he's holding that cup in his hand for you to drink right now. He's holding that cup out for you to be able to drink once again. And I advise anybody right now who's fallen short, who sit there and says, what's the use? I screwed up. I messed it up. I don't have a chance in hell anymore to get anywhere. Well, yeah, you do. Yes, you do. All you have to do is begin once again to believe. Turn back to your first love, and that's when God first introduced himself to you in your life. Turn back. Just turn back to that and start walking with him and start trusting. Repent for your actions. Repent for what you did. You know, I've stumbled. I don't think there's a disciple who hasn't stumbled. Peter stumbled. John, I think everyone has stumbled. There's not one, and there's not one who's walking today that hasn't stumbled at some point in their life walking with the Lord. But God's mercy and his grace is there for you right now to be able to sit there and turn back to him, cup out of his hand, start drinking, because Christ is still in you.
Amen.
But he's a gentleman. He's not going to sit there and he'll bring conviction into your heart, but he won't condemn you. The only one who's condemning you right now, the only one who is condemning you right now in your spirit is the devil, because you're listening to him. Because you say, oh, I screwed up. I failed. I'm not worthy of the Lord. I'm not worthy. I can't go back. Well, it's just like the prodigal son when he spent all his inheritance and he was sitting in a pig pen eating slop. Sit there and says, if I go back to my father just to be a servant, well, he would ask him if he would receive me back. The father saw him coming down the road. He ran after him. He started kissing on him. He gave him a royal robe. He put a ring back on his finger. And he, like I said, he cut a fat calf and he had a party for that young man who returned back. And that same thing happens in the spirit of the Lord. It happens in heaven. The minute you turn around and start to go back to the Lord, he will run after you. He will put that robe back on you. He'll take those spots off of you. But, you know, like I said, it is the devil. If you're having doubt, if you're doing anything right now and you're feeling condemned, just know it's not of God. The conviction that God puts in your heart is to let you know you don't want to go that way. No, don't go that way. Stop, stop, stop. Don't go that way. Come back this way. Because I've already taken you from that. Come on, come on, come back this way. No, come with me. Follow me. That's God's convicting your heart of doing right. But when the Spirit is telling you, you screwed up, you're done. See, the devil wants you back in his playground. He does not want you going after the Spirit of God. He does not want you to have everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven. He already knows the power that you possess, that you have laid down, that you can pick it back up, that you can start once again walking with the Lord. You can once again start seeking the Lord. And when you once again know and feel the understanding and feel that love of God once again in your life, you can do it right now. Anyone right now who has fallen, all you got to do is repent and turn back to God. And He will run after you. That I know. I can testify. You know, God has moved in my life in so many areas. You know, even walking in the spirit of the Lord, and I know I've failed Him at many times, but He is a gracious God, and I know He's turned me around. He's shown me where I messed up, and He sits there and says, "Okay, just don't do it again." You know, just like He sat there and told the prostitute. They sat there when the guys came to tempt the Lord and sat there and says, "This woman is an adulterous woman." It says, "What should we do according to the law of Moses? She should be stoned." And He knelt down. He started writing in the sand. And He looked up and He says, "What man among you is not sin? Cast the first stone." And they all started walking away, dropping their rocks. And He looked upon that woman after He wrote on the ground again. He said, "There, who's here that to condemn you?" And she said, "No one's here." He says, "Neither do I." That is what God is willing to do right now for you. If you're listening, and if you messed up, God will take you back. He will clean you back up. And He would tell Taryn, just like He told that woman, says, "Go and sin no more. Turn from that." That's the conviction that God puts in your life, to turn from the sin. You know, God tells us we not to judge. He was saying is we not to judge the person, but we have the right to judge the sins that they're walking in, and that we have the right, the knowledge and understanding that, no, that's not the right way to do it. So we can turn from that and walk the other way. We don't have to follow after that. Even though that might be your best friend, it might be your best girlfriend or your boyfriend or whoever it is. It might be a superstar, you know, whoever it is that you're idolizing or whatever, and you know that they're walking in that sin, they're walking in that path of unrighteousness. You don't judge that person, but you can judge their actions. That is what God has given us. And so many people have taken that same word, "Thou shalt not judge without being judged." Well, that's because you're judging the person instead of what their actions are. If you will begin to judge their actions, because that's the conviction that God will put on your heart, knowing you don't need to walk in that direction. You don't need to be going down that road. You don't need to be getting on that airplane, flying off to Tahiti or wherever else to have a good time, because you figure nobody will know and nobody will ever see you. And you know in your heart it's not the right thing to do. That's the conviction that God puts into you. But like I said, the condemnation that you're feeling right now is because you stumbled and you fell. That is of the devil. You call him a liar. You call him whatever you want to call him.
Amen.
You sit there and cast him out. Because
Amen.
That cup that God has given you, that new cup, that covenant, that new cup.
Amen.
Is full of the living word of God. It is full of the water that you'll not have to thirst after. It is full of life. And that's the life that's the life that you desired in the first place. That's the life that you've desired from the time when you sit there and became so distraught in your own life because you had emptied out the first cup that you had. But God gave you an everlasting life. And that cup, Jesus sits there and says, Yes, you will drink from my cup. And that takes you back to what I was talking to you earlier about the spiritual scars, the spiritual bruises that we have. And if we could see our spirit, we would see the same holes that Jesus bore in the natural, because when he was resurrected, the apostles and the disciples had seen the same scars and the same holes in his hands as he was resurrected. So if we're resurrected in Christ, we have the same. This is who Jesus is. This is who he is in your life. And he will continue to guide you. He will continue to love you. And he will continue to be able to sit there and feed you. He will continue to hand you that cup and continue to drink of his grace and of his mercy and for that everlasting life in the kingdom of heaven. So I pray that somebody who had listened to this and heard this, and that any, I don't know why I went with that part, but I just know that somebody out there has been stumbling, that's been falling, and they've been having all kinds of nightmares. They've been having all kinds of different things about, I failed God, how can I get back, and this and that. I'm just telling you right now, you can do it.
Amen.
Because out of that cup that you drank out of the hand of Christ, God restored your spirit, restored your soul, and he also gave you the power to defeat that enemy that you're listening to right now. That enemy of your past is dead. Don't let it resurrect again. Cast it out. You have that power. It's greater as he is in you that is in the world. So you have that power. And turn yourself back to the Lord. And begin to walk with him again. And I promise you, he will come after you. He'll wrap his arms around you. And he will carry you if he has to. He will hold you in his arms and make everything new. So that's my word for you guys tonight.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. We know the word of God is still sharp. The word is still pure. And one thing I can always say,
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Amen. And so one thing I will say, I believe we had a brother by the name of Abraham Johnson was supposed to come over to Austin, Texas, and told him that because he was having some difficulty on the radio station, and he had a group that he was going to have. I don't know what happened. He decided not to stay with us, but I'm here to let him know that we still love him.
Back it up.
I know it's difficult because of something wrong with the computer, but that's all right. We're going to do this tonight. No, we're going to make it through this tonight. We're going to make it through this tonight. We're going to make it through this tonight. We're going to make it through this tonight on this one. Amen. Well, I'm still like this.
Breaking up.
Okay.
I can't understand what you're saying.
Okay. Well, I know somebody on the computer. Okay. Let me see here. Let's go back. I know that I'm doing everything. I don't know if this somehow or another, somehow on this computer. Is this somebody?
Breaking up, Apostle.
I know, but I'm trying to get back.
I can't understand what you're saying.
I'm trying to get back on the line. I'm trying to get back on the line. Amen. Like, I'm going to get this quite away. If I'm not going to